After helping Dr. Turner load his medical equipment onto the wagon, Smoke hitched up the teams to a wagon and a buggy. Their luggage and a few possessions went in last, and they were on their way. Because with the wagon, they would have to come within a half a mile of Hell's Creek, Smoke checked his guns, loading them up full. The action did not escape the eyes of the doctor and his wife. Lisa had fallen asleep in the back of the wagon, lying on a soft comforter and wrapped up in a blanket, for the night was cool.
Rumor has it you've killed 25 men, Smoke.
Closer to 200, I reckon.
200? 200 men?
Or nearabouts. Whoa.
What's the matter?
Something out there. Star's ears just came up. The horse is as good as the dog about warning you. And here's our company. Best make yourselves a small target.
Two horses stopped in front of them. Both of the men had guns in their hands, the hammers jacked back.
Well now, ain't this a sight? Doctor and his pretty wife trying to slip out, Smoke Jensen leading them. Look here, Jensen. Look down the barrel of the gun, that's gonna kill you. Oh!
Ah! How in the... They were ready to fire. No man draws that fast.
You're right. I had drawn as soon as Star's ears perked up.
Well, I've got to see if they can retreat it.
No.
Mr. Jensen, I understand that they...
Sit down, Doc. Now pick up those reins and whop those horses on the butt. We've got to move and do it fast.
But those men...
Mister, do you want to see your wife and little girl spread eagle on the ground being raped?
Mr. Jensen!
If you don't, then shut up and drive this wagon. Stay on this road south. Don't get off of it. I'll catch up in about an hour. Move!
Smoke kept Star as he watched the Turners ride off. Leading Star, he got himself into position in the rocks above the road in the center of the curve. He set up several sticks of capped and fused dynamite beside him. He made him a little smoldering pocket of punk to light the fuses, and then he waited. The charge landed about 50 feet in front of the laboring horses. The horses threw their riders to the ground, leaving every one of them open. The gun hands, lucky enough not to get shot in the first few moments, had all scrambled for cover, and Smoke smiled when he saw where they were hiding. He left his position, working his way back, and then up to about 100 yards above the road. He threw his next stick of dynamite straight at the rock pile. The sticks he had left there would make this explosion one to remember. Smoke ran for Star and jumped into the saddle. It would take the outlaws anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours to round up their horses, assuming they lived through the rock slide. When he caught up with Robert and Vicky, he halted the parade.
What'd you do back there? We heard explosions, shots.
Why, I showed them the error of their evil ways, put them on the path to righteousness.
The next morning, as they pulled into Barlow, Smoke spotted Sally coming out of the hotel.
Sally, I've got somebody for you.
Vicky! Vicky!
Sally, it's so good to see you.
Oh, and you too. And you must be Lisa.
Hello, Mrs. Jensen.
Oh, call me Sally, Lisa. Well, come inside, Vicky. We've got lots of catching up to do.
Good to see you again, Smoke.
How are things, Sal?
Everything's been quiet, Smoke. This the doctor?
Robert Turner. Pleased to meet you, Sal.
The doctor noticed Sal sizing him up.
Do I pass inspection?
Won't know that until the shooting starts.
Well, I've done more than my share of hunting, I assure you.
Yeah, but deer don't shoot back.
Robert looked around. The people standing around him were all friendly looking, but he noticed that every man was armed. Every man, including the editor of the Bugle. No doubt about it. This town was braced for trouble.
Smoke?
Hello, Tom.
Mrs. Jensen told us what you were doing yesterday, Smoke, so we fixed up an office for Dr. Turner. It's right next to his house.
That's good to hear. You and Victoria will need to get settled in, Robert. Big doings come Saturday night. This town is throwing a party.
48 hours before the dance and box supper, Jim DeGone saw the northbound stage come in. He rushed back to tell Smoke all about it.
Jim, Where's the fire?
Now I got great news, Smoke. The northbound stage?
Yeah, what about it?
It only has two people on it.
What's so special about these two people?
Well, first I thought it's kind of weird that there was people at all, you know? Northbound business just about died since you got here. Well, the men is dressed up as dandies for sure, but their eyes, cold, killer's eyes.
Henri Dubois and Paul Minnemeyer.
You know it, they're here. And that ain't the best part.
No?
No. The driver knew who they were. Gave him some guff about a cracked brake lever or some hogwash. He gave him an hour before it was fixed up, pointed him towards the saloon. They'll be here right quick.
Well, that is some mighty good news.
Smoke spotted Curly, one of the Circle W hands, over by the general store.
Hey, Curly.
Yeah, Smoke?
Our foreign guests are on their way. You want to give them a proper welcome?
I would be honored, Marshal.
10 minutes later, as Henri and Paul were heading for the saloon, Curly walked real casual right by him and slammed a shoulder into the big German.
Hey, watch where you're going, stupid!
Get out of my way, you ignorant lout!
What the hell'd you call me?
Back off, Paul.
Oh, what's the matter? Your buddy have to do your fighting for you? Idiot!
Curly popped the German in the snout. The Frenchie slammed a fist into Curly's belly. Inside the saloon, the Circle W crew was peering out, waiting for that punch. Now they charged outside.
Man, cut!
The men proceeded to kick a living snot out of the pair of assassins, leaving them unconscious on the street.
All right, clear out, everybody. I'll see y'all come Saturday night. Thanks, boys.
Our pleasure, Smoke.
You're jaw okay?
Hell, I was hit by a Frenchman. I've been hit harder by my wife. Them old boys won't be doing much anything for a week or two. Maybe longer.
Thanks, Curly.
Don't mention it. You need us, we'll all be back in the saloon.
Well, now what?
Smoke grinned and reached into his coat pocket and pulled out a bottle of opium-based elixir.
I bought a full case of this from a drummer last week. By the time these two wake up, they're gonna be on a train heading back east. Come on, help me drag them off the street.
They dragged the unconscious men into an alley, then stripped them of their duded-up clothes and dressed them in filthy, ragged shirts and dungarees. Smoke poured a half bottle of knockout medicine down each of their throats.
All right. Think you can take care of these two, Jim?
Sure will. I'll just take them to a freight wagon on its way to a rail car. By the time they wake up, they'll be somewhere in Nebraska.
While Jim was away, Smoke and Sal inspected the luggage Dubois and Mittermeier had brought with them.
Winchester high wall, fallen block rifles, single shot. I seen this type of rifle before, but never so duded up.
Here, have one.
Wow! The balance is perfect.
Yep. And this 2-foot telescope sure gives you a good view of a target.
Shells are perfect. They probably picked these out by hand. You know, these bullets travel about 3 miles before it knocks you down.
Uh-huh. These rifles are meant for only one thing.
Yeah. Man killing.
The people started coming into town for the dance and box supper during the middle of the day on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Most would spend the night camped under their wagons or in the wagon bed under canvas if it was raining. A few took rooms at the Grand Hotel. Just before dusk, Smoke had taken his bath and dressed in a black suit, white shirt with string tie, and slipped into his just-polished boots. He strapped on his guns and looked in on Sally. She had dressed in a simple gingham outfit, but with Sally, she could make a flour sack look good. She gave her hair a final pat and turned to Smoke.
Are you expecting trouble tonight, honey?
Yeah, I am. When Joe Walsh's crew meets up with Red Malone's lightning crew, anything is apt to happen.
All the crews coming in?
Far as I know, Joe really stripped his herds this spring, keeping mostly young stuff, so night herding is not that essential. Shall we?
I'm ready. Think there'll be shooting trouble, honey?
No, we've taken care of that. All guns will be checked upon entering the dance area. If any object to that, they can carry their butts back home. If any trouble starts, it'll be fists.
But you and Sal and Jim will be armed.
Oh, yes, Sonny.
This promises to be quite an interesting night.
That is one way of putting it, yes.
Smoke and Sally joined Dr. and Mrs. Turner in the hotel dining room for coffee.
I will say this, Smoke. I find the people of Barlow a refreshing change from the hoodlums and rowdies of Hell's Creek. We both like it here.
I'm glad you do, and I hope you decide to stay. It's going to be a growing little town.
But you and Sally will eventually move on?
Oh, yes, back to the Sugarloaf. That's home. We'll get this situation straightened out here and be back home in early fall.
Anyone from Hell's Creek made an appearance yet tonight?
Not to my knowledge, but they'll be along. They can't afford not to show up.
They looked out the window and spotted Joe Walsh and his Circle W crew riding in. Joe drove the buggy, sitting beside his wife.
If you ladies will excuse us, Robert and I have to speak with Joe and his crew.
Could you send Mrs. Walsh in here? I'm sure we have lots to catch up on.
Certainly. Hello, Mr. Walsh.
Hello, Mr. Jensen. Dr. Turner.
My wives would like to speak to your wife, if that's not too much trouble.
Mrs. Walsh nodded and left to join the ladies in the dining room. Smoke turned to speak to the Circle W hands.
All right, boys. This is the way it's going to be tonight. When you enter the dance and box supper area, you check your guns with Mrs. Marbley. The only people who will be armed will be me and my deputies, and I've appointed several special deputies for this night. Anyone who doesn't think they can abide by that rule, haul your ashes out of town.
Suits me. It's going to be interesting to see you take Melvin Malone's guns off of him.
Oh, I'll take them, Curly, or tomorrow his dad will be burying him.
Tom Johnson, one of the special deputies, rode in from the north, just as Benson, another of the special deputies, rode up from the south end of town.
Big Max and half a dozen of his gun slicks coming in.
And Red Malone and his crew are just outside of town.
All right, get your shotguns, boys. Line up with me on the boardwalk.
Johnson, Marbley, Benson, and Toby got sawed-off shotguns and lined up in front of the hotel, two on each side of Smoke. Jim and Sal stood a dozen yards off, one on each side of the five. They, too, were armed with greeners. Smoke knew some of the men who rode in with Max, Alex Bell, Dave Poe, Val Singer. He didn't know the others with him, but he knew the breed, hired guns. One of Red's hands was driving the buggy with the elegantly gowned Tessie. She took one look at Smoke and decided she was in love. In heat was more like it. Tessie's exploits were known throughout the entire county and several adjacent counties. The crews of Max and Red swung their horses and faced Smoke and his deputies.
Good evening, gentlemen. Miss Tessie, welcome to Barlow.
What's the idea of all this force?
It's a beautiful night, people. So we decided to move everything outdoors. The dance area is roped off, as is the box supper area. We have plenty of chairs and benches for your comfort, if you didn't bring blankets to sit on. That tent set up just before you enter the entertainment area is where you'll check your guns.
Smoke moved close to Mel Malone, who was still mounted.
I'll be damned if I'll check my guns.
Smoke reached up and dragged Melvin from his saddle and smacked him across the face. While Melvin stood stunned, Smoke relieved him of his gun belt and weapons.
Thanks, Melvin. Now, I don't want to have to take people's gun belts from them like I had to do with Mel here. You can have them back after tonight, Mel. Oh, and anybody who makes a grab for a gun, my deputy's shooting.
Smoke turned and moved up to Melvin until he was nose to nose with him.
You say one more word to me, sonny boy, and I'll break both your goddamn arms so you'll never be able to pick up a gun again. You understand me?
For the first time in his life, Melvin Malone knew real fear. He looked into the eyes of Smoke Jensen and saw death staring back at him. But then, rage overrode fear and the young man made up his mind. He carried a hideout gun behind his belt buckle. He went for it. Smoke pasted Melvin in the face and the man went down, dropping his gun.
Damn it! Let go of me!
Smoke grabbed Melvin and flipped him on his stomach, handcuffing his hands behind his back in one fluid movement.
Now, stand up. I said get up! Jim, take this man to jail. The charge is disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, and attempted murder of a peace officer. Bond, if any, will be set by Judge Garrison in the morning. That's it, people. Check your guns with Mrs. Marbley and have fun.
Red cut his eyes to the south. A dozen men, all armed with rifles, stood in the street, blocking any escape. Max followed the glance and then looked toward the north. Another dozen men, all heavily armed, blocked the north end of the street.
I think we better check our guns and get ready for the dance.
We'll do that, John.
There'll be no trouble in this town tonight, Jensen. Not by any of my people. But you'll not try my boy on them charges.
He'll be tried, Red. And if convicted, he'll do his time in the territorial prison. Now, hear me well, all of you. The days of lawlessness are over in this town. The days of any of you riding roughshod over decent, law-abiding people has ended. Pull in your horns and act right or die. That's the only choice I'm going to give you, any of you. If any of you cause trouble at tonight's festivities, I'll shoot you down like a rabid skunk and drag your carcass off and stick it in the first hole I come to. And if it's the lime pit of an old privy, that'll do just fine. Now stable your horses and check your guns.
Max led his men to the livery stable, with Red and the others following.
We gotta do something about Jensen, Max, and we gotta do it damn quick.
I know, Ben. Did you notice anything riding into town?
Well, not really.
Then open your damn eyes. Look around you. You're supposed to be a gunfighter, man who lives by his wits. Hell, there are water barrels everywhere. Full barrels, with buckets close by. The stable's where the town used to keep their pumper. It's gone. That means that Jensen outguessed us. Again. He guessed we might try to burn him out. And we're prepared for it. Did any of you see the clearing of brush that's been done around the town? And up on the ridges, where a sharpshooter might have hidden himself? There ain't no damn place for that now. Not anymore. The town is ready for an attack.
Where is them high-priced sharpshooters from Europe that was coming in?
I don't know. They should have been here by now. Unless... No. Jensen had no way of knowing they were coming. And neither of them carries a sidearm or can be seen. He'd have no reason to pull them off the stage. They must be on their way in.
Let's be good little boys and check our guns and dance with some real ladies, and then we'll eat some home cooking for a change.
The rest of the evening went smoothly with no more trouble. The bidding on the boxes was fast and sometimes heavy, depending on whether two young men were courting the same young lady. Smoke bid on Mrs. Walsh's box, and Joe bid on Sally's, and everybody seemed to have a good time. After everyone had eaten and the dancing began, Max walked over to Smoke, standing in the shadows.
You really think you got the bull by the horns now, don't you, Jess? But you gotta know that the folks of Hell's Creek are not simply gonna give up and desert the town.
You'd be smart if you did.
No way, Jensen. You've backed us into a corner. We have to fight.
If you say so.
Innocent people will be hurt. Killed.
That's usually the way it goes. Take some advice, Max. Pull out. Break up your gangs and leave the county. If you stay, I'm gonna have to kill you.
Or I'll kill you.
A lot of men have tried that, Max. I've soaked up a lot of lead in my day. I'm still here.
Oh, I think Melvin is as good as you are. And you'll never bring that boy to trial, Spoon.
Maybe not. We'll have to see, won't we?
Maybe I have a couple of aces in the hole, Spoon.
By the names of Dubois and Mittermeier?
What?
I've got their fancy rifles locked up in my office, and they're halfway back to New York City by now. They'll be so doped up, it'll be days before they even know who they are. Much less where they are.
Well, slick, Jensen. I keep underestimating you. I gotta stop doing that. But I gotta ask you, is this what you're gonna do for the rest of your life? Stick your goddamn nose in other people's affairs?
I hope not, Max. To tell the truth, my wife and I came up here to visit friends, nothing else.
Dr. Turner and his wife. I should have guessed. Sure. Who else in Hell's Creek would your wife want to associate with? So, now Barlow has a doctor and we don't. What's next, Jensen?
You packing up and pulling out.
That is something I will never do, Jensen.
Well, you've noticed the cleanup around town, the new water barrels. You've seen where we fixed up our pumper. And you've seen how the people are all armed and willing to stand shoulder to shoulder to fight you and Red Malone. Don't you feel it in your guts, Max? Can't you see? You're not gonna win this one.
Old Max felt it all right. He'd been sensing it for several days. The town was clean and neat, with swept boardwalks and washed windows and shrubs and flowers planted around the homes. The people here were taking pride in their town. Max's eyes flickered to the lush little body of Aggie, who was dancing with that pig farmer's boy, Elias. His blood grew hot. The quick glance did not escape the eyes of Smoke. He filed it away.
I'll go down with my town, if indeed we are to go down at all. And that certainly remains to be seen.
Men like you never learn, Max. Civilization is fast spreading throughout the West. The people aren't going to tolerate men like us much longer.
Us?
Sure, Max. Us. I'm tolerated because I'm bringing a change to this town. When you and Red are either dead or run out of the territory, the people won't want me around. I'm a gunfighter, Max. The smell of gun smoke lingers around me like some sort of invisible shroud. Just like the smell of perversion lingers around you.
What the hell do you mean by that, Jensen?
You touch that Beckles girl, and I'll kill you, Max. I'll ride into Hell's Creek and blow your head off your shoulders. As God is my witness, I'll do it.
She's a woman, Jensen. She might be a child of mine, but she's got the body of a woman.
You are pure trash, Max. I know that you lusted after both Victoria and Lisa. Tell you what, Max. I'm going to start sending out wires to a lot of law enforcement offices. I'm going to blanket your back trail and see what I can come up with. And I'm going to start with telegrams concerning child molestation and rape over, say, the past 10 years or so. How does that grab you, partner?
Max was thinking hard. He'd left a trail behind him for sure.
You do that, Jensen. My back trail is clean.
We'll soon know. It'll only take me about a week to find out.
I'm tired of this goddamn party. All right, man. Get your gear and mount up. We're leaving. Now!
Over coffee the next morning in his office, Smoke told Jim and Sal and Judge Garrison what had brought on Max Huggins' sudden departure the night before.
Let me start canvassing various law enforcement agencies, Smoke. I have many more contacts than you. I should have something within a week, probably in less time than that.
Good, Judge. Get right on it, will you?
Immediately. Oh, and the attempted murder charge on Melvin Malone means I don't have to set a bond. He'll just stay in jail.
Hey! Let me out of here! You're dead, Jensen! You're a dead man walking and you don't even know it!
Shut up, boy! You're only making things more difficult for yourself.
Well, I'll see you boys around. I've got a lot of work to do.
You know Red gonna try and bust him out.
Sure. Once he hears no bond was set, he'll try force. Maybe as soon as tonight.
You want us set up cots and sleep here?
No. Red, so I'm told, likes to use dynamite. That's how he drove all those small farmers out that were settling around his holdings. He might decide to use explosives here. Too risky for us to sleep in.
Hell, Smoke. He uses dynamite. He might blow up Melvin trying to get him out.
I doubt we'd get that lucky, Sal.
Smoke cut his eyes to the window in time to see John Steele riding up, playing point man for several wagons. They pulled up in front of Marbley's General Store.
Oh boy, here it comes.
Yep, storm clouds are gathering, and it's about to rain trouble all over us. Let's go, boys.
What the hell do you mean my money's no good, you little worm? My money's as good as anybody's, and by God, you're gonna sell me what I want!
You get the hell out of my store! I don't want you or any of your scummy crew in my place of business. You get out, I say!
Oh, that's it! You're gonna regret this, you!
Mrs. Marbley had jerked an axe handle out of a barrel and bonked it across the top of John Steele's Stetson-covered head. John was now out cold on the floor. One of the lightning hands jerked out a gun and aimed it at the woman. A .44 shot from outside went right between his eyes.
Nobody move.
The remaining lightning crew saw Smoke and his two deputies coming through the door and immediately cooled down. The side of the street filling with armed men, no doubt from the sound of the gunshot, made them hold up their hands in a hurry.
That's better. Sorry about shooting through the window, Marbley.
Oh, I can replace the window just fine, Smoke.
Good to hear. Sal, Drag John Steele to jail. Marbley, you gonna press charges?
Damn right.
Charge him with assault and battery, Sal. Jim, get the undertaker. The rest of you, outside, now. This town is off limits to you and to anyone who works for Red Malone, including Red. I am officially banning any and all of you from Barlow. You have 1 minute to get out of this town, and don't ever come back. Now get!
Brother, they got. After hearing the news, Red Malone rode to the town limits and sat a saddle in the middle of the road. Malone was many things, but a fool was not one of them. Someone would soon spot him and take the news to Jensen. Smoke would ride out to see what he wanted. In a couple of minutes, Smoke rode up and faced him.
Something I can do for you, Red?
Bomb been set for John Steele?
$50. He's out saddling his horse. He'll be along shortly.
He hurt?
He's got a knot on his noggin, and his pride is bruised. That's all.
You'd done Dan a favor if you'd gone to kill him. I'm told his tendons are cut, and he ain't never gonna use that arm again. And a one-armed puncher ain't good for much, Jensen.
That's his problem, Red.
John Steele rode up, wheeled his horse up beside Red, and faced Smoke. The man was killing mad, and it showed on his face.
I want to see my boy, Jensen. He ain't much, I'll give you that, but he's still mine. You can have my gun and search me. Have a deputy there with us, but I want to see him.
All right, Red. I wouldn't have kicked up any fuss at that. Father has a right to see his own. John, you ride on to the spread. Don't come back to town. I mean it. Your ways of dealing with the people of Barlow are over.
You and me, Jensen. Someday just you and me.
Shut your mouth and clear out, John. Don't dig your own grave.
Yeah!
I was told Marbley refused to sell to my men. John got worked up and Marbley's woman knocked him on the head. One of my men drew, and you took that chance to shoot him through the head.
That's about it, Red.
It was obvious that Red had more on his mind than seeing his son. Smoke got the impression Malone didn't even like the boy. He might love him, but he sure as hell didn't like him.
Where am I supposed to buy supplies, Jensen?
I don't know, Red. But if Marbley doesn't want you in his store, that's his right.
You pushed me up against a wall like you're pushing Max. Don't you think we'll push back, Jensen?
We're ready anytime you boys want to start the tug of war, Red.
Damn it, man! My boys will have to drive teams way the hell south of here for supplies!
There's a way you can prevent that, Red, and you know it.
There's two ways, Jensen. And you know the other way I'm talking about.
You want to try it now, Red?
I reckon not, Jensen. But you can't stick around here forever. You gotta leave sometime. I'll wait.
I'm betting you won't, Red. Sooner or later, your daughter is going to want some pretties from the dress shop or the general store. And she'll agitate you or someone else until you drive her in. One of your hands is going to get drunk and come rip-snorting in here. You or some of your crew or your kid will get sick and have to see the doctor or the man at the apothecary shop. Any of those things could blow the lid off.
You'd stop me from bringing my girl or one of my men in to see the doctor?
That's right, Red.
You're a heartless bastard, Jensen.
I wouldn't prevent the doctor from going out to your spread. Or you could bring them to the town limits, and he could treat them there. But after today, unless it's for a court appearance, neither you nor any of your family or crew sets a foot in Barlow.
I got a packet in my saddlebags for Mel. It's some reading material and some money so he can buy himself some food at the cafe. Is that all right?
Suits me, Red.
Here. It's all in there.
You know I'll have to inspect it.
I know. It's a Bible, Jensen. That's the only book I can find in the house. Maybe he'll read it, maybe he won't. I reckon I should have.
You think it's too late for that, Red?
Yeah, I think it is, Jensen. I don't make no never mind. I'll deal with the devil when I meet him. Jensen, either I'm gonna kill you, John Steele is gonna kill you, Max Huggins is gonna kill you, or somebody is gonna kill you for that bounty on your head. And you know there is one.
So I've heard.
And there you sit, just as calm and unconcerned as a hog in slop.
That's me, Red. I don't worry about things I have no control over. I don't fret about too little or too much rain. That's in God's hands. And I don't worry about what you or Max or your scummy crews are gonna do. Oh, I could take control of that, Red, by blowing you out of the saddle right now. But even though I've killed lots of men, I'm not a murderer. And I don't force gunplay on people who haven't pushed me. So I just wait.
Let me see if I can get through to you, Jensen. The people in this town, are little people. You and me and Max, we're big people. Big people have always had little people under their thumb. That's what makes the world go round, Jensen. Do you understand that?
I hear your words, Red, and you're wrong. You'll never see that, though. That's just the way you are, I reckon. Lots of folks are like you and Max, Red. You're born that way. I call it the bad seed theory.
God damn you, Jensen! I came out here in late 65 when this country was wild, man. Wild! I built my spread with sweat and blood, a lot of it my blood. I fought Injuns and homesteaders and hog farmers and white trash. I scratched and clawed and chewed my way to what I got. And I'll not see it tore apart in front of my eyes. I demand respect.
You left out a lot of things, Red. You left out that you probably came out here running from the law back east.
Smoke knew he'd hit pay dirt from the expression on Red's face.
You always were a liar and a cheat and a thief and a womanizer. I'm told you beat your wife so often and so savagely, she finally had enough and quit you. Now, I add all that up, Red, and do you know what the total is?
Red stared at Smoke. He was killing mad. But he was smart enough to know if he dragged iron, Jensen would beat him.
Tell me, gunfighter.
Scum. 100% stinking scum.
I'll spit on your grave, Jensen.
I seriously doubt it.
God damn you, Jensen. Who gives you the right to pass judgment on me? You're nothing but a gunfighter. You made your money killing people. And what the hell gives you the right to think you're better than me?
Oh, I don't think I'm better than you in the biblical sense, Red. We're all going to have to stand before our Maker and be judged.
Then?
I could stand here and try to explain the differences between us until I fell off my horse from exhaustion. No matter what I said, I'd never get through to you. So I'll tell you this. If you're not going to change your murdering, thieving ways and try to live a decent life, if you're not going to fire the scum from your payroll and run them out of this county, I suggest you go make your peace with God. Go make out your will and leave your ill-gotten holdings to Tessie.
Tessie? Hell's fire, man. She'd go through my money like a whirlwind. I'll leave my holdings to my son.
He won't be around very much longer, Red. If he beats the charges, and he probably will, Judge Garrison says the attempted murder charge is pretty flimsy. He'll come after me. And I'll kill him. Then you'll go on the prod, and I'll put you down. The way I see it, Red, any way it goes, you're looking at a grave. Now, you want to see your boy?
I changed my mind. I got some ruminating to do, Jensen. I got to ponder on what you said this day. I don't know whether you're the bravest man I ever met. You're just out of your goddamn mind. But if you wanted another enemy, Jensen, you just made one with me.
See you around, Red.
You set foot out of this town, Jensen. You better be wearing a gun.
I'm wearing one right now, Red.
Red shook his head and wheeled his horse, heading back to his ranch. Smoke inspected the contents of the packet. It was exactly what Red had said. Smoke rifled through the pages of the Bible to check for a derringer or a knife, but there was nothing.
Here, Melvin. Your dad bought you some reading material.
About time.
What are you doing, boy? That's the Holy Bible.
Tell my pa thanks, Jensen. I needed something to wipe my butt with.
Melvin Malone was released from jail. The attempted murder charge was dropped. A week passed with no retaliation from either Max Huggins or Red Malone. But the townspeople didn't relax. They knew an attack was coming. And then, on a warm and bright summer's day, Aggie Feckles walked into a field on the outskirts of town to pick flowers for the kitchen table. Several hours later, Martha showed up at the marshal's office. Smoke didn't need a crystal ball to know what had taken place. He sent a boy over to the hotel for Sally so she could look after Martha and began stuffing his saddlebags with items he might need when he declared war on Hell's Creek.
We'll get a posse together, Smoke.
No, we won't. That's what Max wants. They want a posse chasing after shadows and leaving the town undefended. If Aggie is still alive, I'll bring her back.
If she's still alive?
In a case this heinous, and we might as well say the word, rape. Max, if it is Max, would probably dispose of the body after the viciousness was done. He'd be a total fool to keep her alive, and Max is not a fool. Let's all hope and pray he's savoring the anticipation and has not completed the act. And Smoke, I've also got some news on Max Huggins.
Tell me outside. What'd you find out?
I've received some confirmation about Max Huggins' back trail. I was on my way over to tell you when I heard about Aggie. He's wanted back east in several states for rape and murder of young girls.
Do you have warrants?
That'll take some time, probably a month or better. It's a time-consuming process, Smoke.
Aggie doesn't have a month, Judge. See ya.
By early evening, Smoke arrived at Farmer Brown's place. Brown and his wife were sitting in the front porch.
Evening, Mr. Jensen. What can...
Oh, hell. That look on your face tells me this isn't a social call.
I'm afraid not, Mr. Brown. The Feckles girl's gone missing.
What?
Aggie? Oh, Lord. Is it Hell's Creek?
Looking that way. And Judge Garrison got word from East. Max Huggins is wanted for the rape and murder of little girls in a number of states.
Oh, my God. Look, we need to keep this from Elias. The boy's sweet on that girl, and there's no telling what he'd try to do.
Someone else is coming. Who'd you bring with you, Mr. Jensen?
Nobody.
Ellie, get inside. Take the rifle and set it up by the window.
Yes. Be careful, honey.
Pete Akins, you come to pass a message along?
No Smoke? I'm out of it. I quit. Bell and Frigo and some others grabbed the little Feckles girl and hauled her to Max Huggins. My gun may be for hire, but I'll be damned if I'll have a part in abusing a child or bothering a good woman. If you want another deputy, you got one, Smoke.
I had a hunch you'd come around, Pete. Where's Aggie being held?
She ain't being held nowhere, Smoke. She's dead. Max done his evil and give her to the men. Made me sick to my stomach. I've been out hunting for supplies, came back right in the middle of it. I just got out of Hell's Creek with my hide on.
Are they planning on attacking the town, Pete?
If a big enough posse rides out, yeah. They got men on the ridges with signal mirrors to tell yay or nay. I figured I'd ride in and warn the townspeople.
That's good, Pete. Do that. And I'm gonna go show the citizens of Hell's Creek what hell is really like.
You want some company?
This is something I want to do myself. How many people pulled out with you?
No one, Smoke. There ain't nothing but trash left up there. Men and women. Ain't no kids in the town, not a one. Even that so-called minister up yonder took his turn with that poor child.
Son of a bitch. Brown, you hogtie Elias if you have to, but keep him away from Hell's Creek. Ah! This is a .44 pressed against your head. If I think you're lying to me, I'll stake you out and skin you alive. You understand?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but my pee won't stop till it's done. Please don't shoot me for that.
I'll take it under consideration.
You smoke, Jensen?
That's right, punk. I couldn't wait for you cowards to attack us, so I've decided to come to Hell's Creek. Now, did you take part in the rape of Aggie?
Yeah.
How many more?
Now, Jesus, Smoke. Everybody in the whole damn town, including some of the women. She screamed and hollered till she couldn't holler no more. Went on all day. Then she went nuts in the head and Frigo shot her.
They're waiting for me down in town.
Yeah, they damn sure are. So go on down and get killed, Jensen, you son of a...
Smoke wiped the big blade of his bowie clean on the man's shirt tail. Smoke checked his guns, loading them full, then took the dead gunny's two Remington Frontier 44s, looping gun belt and all over one shoulder. He tightened his moccasins, slung his saddlebags over his other shoulder, picked up his rifle, and began working his way toward the town. He knew they were waiting for him because of the silence of the usually raucous place. Lights were burning, but there was no laughter coming from any of the saloons. And Smoke was determined that before he left that night, there would be no cause for joy in the town for a long, long time. He paused for a moment, listening. He flipped his rifle around, readying for the blow. Smoke walked onto a corral and slid open the bars. When the action started, the horses would find the opening and bolt. He glanced at the huge livery stable and decided to leave it alone. Men were probably lying in wait for him in there. He slipped around to the back of a saloon, dug in a pocket of his saddlebags, and came out with 6 sticks of dynamite, taped together, already capped with a long fuse. Smoke placed the charge against the storeroom wall. The long fuse would give him plenty of time. With a smile on his face, he slipped back out into the night. Smoke quickly planted 2 more charges on that side of the street.
Any moment now.
Smoke saw a man thrown from the building, crashing through glass. A part of the saloon collapsed under the heavy weight of the charge. Men came pouring out of buildings. Smoke and his Remington were ready for him. Smoke cursed at himself for not spotting Ben Webster before running headlong into him.
You move, you die. Got it?
Yeah, I got it, Jensen. Damn, you made me swallow my jaw.
The body of the girl Aggie, where is it?
Sid tossed it into a backwater off the river over yonder.
Show me. You better be right the first time.
Keeping low, as the flames began licking at the dry timber of the destroyed buildings, the man led Smoke to a dry wash and from there to a slough. The naked body of Aggie was clearly visible.
Get her. Now.
Yeah, sure. All right. I got her. Now what?
Come back and walk toward the timber.
But she ain't got nothing on. That ain't decent.
One look from Smoke's cold eyes convinced the man that he'd better shut his mouth and do as ordered.
Damn.
Where is the bastard? Find him, you fool! Find him and kill him!
At his horse, Smoke had the man wrap Aggie's body in a blanket.
What are you gonna do with me?
Smoke looked back at the town. The flames were slowly being contained by a bucket brigade and 1 small pumper. But for right now, the most important thing was bringing Aggie back for a proper burial. Smoke rode into Barlow just as dawn was breaking fair in the eastern skies. People began lining the streets, silently watching as he rode in, the body of Aggie behind him. Dr. Turner came out of the hotel, where he had just given Martha a sedative, and walked over to Smoke.
Is that...
It is. After they abused her, Warner Frigo shot her in the head, and they dumped her body in a slough.
Pete Akins told us the rest of it, Smoke. This is absolutely the most dastardly act I've seen in all my years on the bench.
How much damage did you do in Hell's Creek, Marshal?
I burned down about 6 buildings. Got lead in 5 or so. I used some dynamite, and the explosions probably killed another 6 or 7, and put that many out of commission for a time. How's Martha, Dr. Turner?
She's sleeping. Victoria and Sally are with her now. I just gave her a sedative about 15 minutes ago. She'll be groggy when she wakes up.
The girl was shot at close range. The slug took off about 1/2 her face. Have the Undertaker do his work and then nail the coffin lid shut. Let's spare Martha that.
Of course, Smoke.
I gotta get some sleep. I'll see you all this afternoon.
We're under attack!
Smoke jumped out of bed and ran down the hotel steps. Big Max had not waited long to retaliate. The gun hands on his payroll and those who lived in Hell's Creek had hit the town hard from the north and were now preparing to strike again from the south end. Several had thrown torches and 2 buildings were already on fire, but the bucket brigades were working and the fires were being snuffed out before much damage could be done.
Get into position, just like we practiced. Move!
The men and women of the town responded quickly, getting into battle positions on the roofs and behind shelter. The outlaws saw what was taking place and broke off the second attack before it could get started. They galloped south.
They're heading for Red Malone's.
Do we follow them, Smoke?
Not a bunch of us, Sal. They want that.
They'll set up an ambush point to nail us. Jim, saddle me a horse, not Star. He needs rest. Judge, deputize Pete Akins. Pete and Jim will stay here. Sal, come on. Let's do some headhunting.
Soon the two men were off, leaving the road just outside of town and cutting across country. From their tracks, it was clear that the outlaws had arrogantly elected to stay with the road, daring Smoke and any others to chase them. The shortcut that Smoke chose was one pointed out to him by Jim and also known by Sal. It would cut miles off getting to the lightning spread. It was rough country, high up country. The men rode the mountain trails and passes in silence for a time.
There they are.
Smoke looked to his right and slightly behind him. A group of riders, tiny from this distance, rode far below him. About 25 of them.
We'll be a good 15 minutes ahead of them after we cut off up yonder. I know a place that'll be dandy for an ambush.
Take the lead, Sal. I'll follow.
The men rode down from the high country then, the temperature warming as they descended from the high up into a valley. Wildflowers had burst forth, coloring the landscape with brilliant summer hues. Smoke was going to add some more color to that scenery, and they were blood red. The two men left their horses safe within boulders and timber, and with their rifles got into place. They were about 50 yards above the road. This was not the stage road, but an offshoot that led to and stopped at Malone's ranch some miles farther on.
We're all lightning range now.
Good. Maybe they'll hear the shots and come to lend their buddies a hand. We'll lessen the odds against the town if they do.
Yeah, but if they do come, we'll be outnumbered something like 40-1.
If worse comes to worse, we'll blast our way out.
There ain't a nerve in your body, is there, Smoke?
The outlaws came into view, riding around a curve in the road, still too far away for accurate shooting.
I wish we brung one of them fancy rifles you took from them foreigners. We'd have sure tried it out.
They'll be in range in about a minute. I'll take the left side, you take the right. Here we go, Sal.
Two saddles were immediately empty. The outlaws appeared confused as their horses reared and bucked at the gunfire and the sudden smell of blood. Instead of turning left or right or retreating, the outlaws put the spurs to the animal's flanks and came forward. Smoke lit the fuse for several taped together sticks of dynamite. The charge landed just above the road near a pile of rocks. Through the cloud of dust, Smoke and Sal could see a half dozen more riderless horses. The outlaws on the ground, some of them writhing in agony with hideous head wounds and broken limbs. The others lying very still, their skulls crushed by the flying rocks. Smoke and Sal started tossing the lead around. The dozen or so outlaws left in the saddle decided it was way past time to clear out. They put the spurs to their horses and were gone, fogging it to Red's ranch.
Good job, Sal. Now let's see if there's anyone down there that can still talk.
Smoke and Sal rode down carefully to take a look at the carnage. Sal rounded up the outlaws' horses while Smoke stood among the dead and wounded, making certain no one summoned up the courage to try a shot at either one of them. They had just finished tying the dead across their saddles and securing the wounded on their horses. Red Malone and his crew thundered up.
What the hell are you doing on my range, Jensen?
I'm a deputy sheriff of this county, Red, and I'm carrying out my duties as such. You interfere, and I'll put your butt in jail.
Sal had worked around. Now he faced Red, rifle pointed at the rancher's chest. The action didn't escape Red, and he knew if trouble started, he'd be the first one dead.
Do you have a warrant for the arrest of these men, Jensen?
I saw them attack the town of Barlow, Red. Me and several hundred other people. Those alive are going back to stand trial. Now, back off.
20 men from the town reined up, heavily armed. Among them, Joe Walsh and half a dozen of his hands.
The town's secure, Smoke. We thought we'd ride out and give you a hand.
It's appreciated, Joe. You men start escorting these bums back to town. Red, their trial will begin in a couple of days. You and your men are still banned from the town. Keep that in mind.
Someday, Jensen.
Anytime, Red. Anytime at all.